Praise the Lord, saints. I thank each one of you, your precious spirits, and the love of Christ emanating from you towards us. We appreciate it all. I'd like to mention the idea that God has given me is, I will carry you. And Brother Brown here, Aaron, mentioned exactly two verses that the Lord had already given me 2 weeks ago. In preparing for this meeting, I wasn't sure if the Lord wanted me to even speak or not, but and I will start with one of those verses, Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Verse 4. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear you. I will carry and deliver you. And I just love the ideas Brother Aaron brought out about the white or gray hairs, that he will carry us even to that time, to the very end. In retirement age, many folks find themselves in a rest home or alone and die alone. But God will be with us even at that stage if we are his children. And I just loved a story that was relayed to me when I was maybe 26 years old and laboring in Baja California, Mexico. We had a camp meeting from the church that we left called Convention in California, Santee, California. And they'd give a spot like we do for the missionaries to tell a little bit about the work. And this missionary told a story. I'm already 56. That was when I was 26, so it left an impact on me. And that story comes to my mind often. It's very simple, but it was a real story, real happening. It was a missionary. I don't recall the country that he was in. But he was walking one morning on the way to do his work. We called them gospel workers and shortened workers. And he was on his way to do his work. And there was a beggar on his way, and the beggar asked for money. And he took out some coins and gave it to him, and then kept on walking. And the beggar caught up to him and got the coins and threw them on the floor and said, basically, that's not enough for me, and threw them on the floor. Well, he picked them up again, put him in his pocket, kept on walking. And he saw another beggar, and he said, well, I'll give him those coins. And he gave him the coins, and he kept on walking. He was heading on to do his missionary work. And pretty soon he felt somebody tapping his back, and he turned around, and it was that second beggar to whom he had given the money that the first one rejected. And he was holding out a smooth stone. I guess he would polish stones, a beautiful colored stone, and he'd give them to people that would give him money as a thank you. And the missionary took the stone, and he right away thought, wow, that one was unthankful, ungrateful, and this one is not only thankful, but he's giving me something to show me that he's thankful. And so the missionary got that polished stone, and he put it in his shirt pocket, dress shirt pocket, and he would carry it with him. So we're talking today, I will carry you. And when you go through discouraging moments and people did not respond to the gospel as he thought that they should, they'd reject him, he'd press that stone from that thankful beggar against his heart, and it would encourage him. And, you know, I'm so thankful that God has put me in his pouch, in his pocket, and I want to be a thankful one. I don't want to be an ungrateful one, one that casts down the very salvation that he gives me to the floor, and like a swine trample on those beautiful pearls that he's given to me. I want him to carry me close to his heart, and I want to be one of those that when he presses me against his heart, he says, that's Brother Tony, he's really thankful. He really appreciates his salvation. He's not murmuring, he's not complaining. He's content, and I want to be one of those. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know where the bosom is? It's the chest area. That's where that disciple that loved Jesus, John, was leaning on Jesus' breast, on his bosom. And it says that Jesus will carry the lambs. Who are the lambs? Us, the lost sheep. And he will carry us close to his heart. That's love. I really enjoy thinking about all the marsupials that have pouches. One of them is the kangaroo, the opossum, koala bears. And then there are other insects and other animals that carry their young on their backs. Chimpanzees, the swan. I've seen actually some swan carrying their little chicks in the back while they're learning how to swim. The wolf spider, the scorpion, the opossum, as I mentioned already. The Sirenium toad and the bowed horde frog and the giant anteater. After they're born, they'll carry them in their back. Why? Because they're not able to fend for themselves yet, and they're getting strong, they're getting strength. And I found out something interesting about the kangaroos. Well, I'll mention how three of these, how long they carry them in their pouch. The kangaroos will carry the joy in their pouch from 8 to 11 months. The opossum will carry the baby in his pouch, in his pocket, 2 months, and the koala bears will carry them in their pouch 6 months. But I found something interesting about these animals when they're born from the birthing canal. The kangaroos, they'll crawl up the mother's chest and drag themselves. A 3-minute crawl is just a teeny little baby, and it'll crawl into the pouch. It has about 3 minutes to do it. If he doesn't make it, doesn't have enough strength, he dies. And you know, I'm so thankful for salvation, so thankful to have been born again, but we also need to do some crawling and get closer to the Lord, get in his pouch so he can carry us. And he gives us that strength, the grace, as Brother Aaron was saying, he gives us sufficient grace. He gives us the grace to do it. But I also thought there are many that start out, they don't go on to sanctification, they don't grow in, and they die. They're just born again, but they don't have the strength to go on. But I'm thankful that we know that God does give each one the strength, but what are we going to do with it? And I was thinking of many characters in the Bible that were able to crawl into Christ's pouch. One of them was Saul. We all know the story of Saul. He was against God's people. He was writing letters to Damascus and having them yanked out by the hair almost, taken to the synagogue, whipped and beaten for believing in Christ, for preaching Christ. But one day that he was on his way to Damascus, as we all know, in Acts 9, Jesus appeared to him, cast him down, said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said to him in Acts 9, 6, he was trembling and astonished, and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And he said, "Arise. Arise and go to Damascus." And that's what that little kangaroo, opossum, and koala has to crawl from the birth canal up, get up and go to the pouch. I'm so thankful that we're hidden. So scripture says, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's Colossians 3, verse 3. Well, when Paul was struck down and blinded, and he knew that he was persecuting, as he persecuted the church of God, he was persecuting Jesus actually, because he's the head, we're the body. As you touch the body, as you touch any of God's people, you're touching Jesus. As you do kindness to God's people, you're doing it to Jesus. As you insult or belittle God's people, you're doing it to Jesus. And he realized he was doing it to Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" When he said that, he was saying, "I'm willing for anything," and Jesus right there saved him. We know he was saved because when Ananias entered in to put his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul." He was saved. Only Ananias went to put his hands on him so he could receive his sight and so that he could be receive the Holy Spirit or be sanctified. And I just love that. At that moment when Paul said, "Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? And he said, arise and go. He started, by the grace of God, crawling into Christ's pouch. And through all of Paul's difficulty and persecutions, he was carried God's pocket and God's pouch. In Acts 9:22, says, but Paul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews. And it says that they took counsel to kill him. The disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in the basket. He was being carried away from harm and being carried into his next mission, journey, or purpose that God had for him. And I just love that God told him that he was going to be with him, and he was, and he was carrying him. And you know, when the kangaroos jump and go from one place to another, there's actually muscles in that pouch that contract and hold the kangaroo in there, the little joy, teeny little baby kangaroo, so it doesn't fall out. And as it grows, it's held in as the mother moves around. We're so thankful that God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's power and his keeping power is enough to keep us hidden in Christ and God. Amen? That was one time that he was kept in his pouch. In Acts 23:12, there were Jews that bound themselves under a curse. You would remember this. They would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. And the chief captain found out through a young lad. And so secretly at night, they took Paul from one city to another. They sent 200 soldiers, 200 spearmen, and a whole slew of horsemen. They set Paul on a beast, and they brought him safely into the governor, to the governor Felix. There he was in God's pouch. You know, that little baby kangaroo or baby opossum, it just has to lie there. And the other thing interesting was that there are three fountains, I'll use that word, inside of the kangaroo, for baby, middle age, and for older kangaroo. And so when they go in there, they know which fountain to attach to, and they start drinking milk right away. Right away, they start nourishing themselves and growing. And Paul was attached to that work of grace. He was drinking the milk of the Word of God, and he was getting stronger and preaching the Word of God mightily, and there were those that didn't like it. You know what saddens me? I understand when the world doesn't like the Word of God, but it saddens me when God's people don't like the Word of God. And they go, I don't like that brother, so-and-so, and he's just too... I go, wait a minute. What did he preach? Did he read the Word of God, or is he preaching his own opinion? If he's preaching the Word of God, don't say you don't like that ministry. You say, I don't like the Word of God. I don't like God. Be honest. Be honest. Say, I'm not willing. I'm hard-hearted. I'm worldly. But don't blame it on the preacher. And they just hated Paul, and they were tired of... Oh, he went through so much. But anyway, here in Acts 23:12, God protected him in his pocket, in his pouch. Thank the Lord. And he will to you. You don't have to fear. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, there's a long list of what Paul told of all that happened to him, all that was against him, all the enemies that rose up against him. I'll just read a few. In labors, in stripes, in prisons, in beatings 5 times, 3 times beaten with a rod, 3 times shipwreck, perils of robbers and cold and nakedness, perils of false brethren. But God was keeping him in his pouch, protecting him, caring for him. When we started preaching in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico in 2007, shortly after in 2008, 9, 10, 11, in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, which is right across from El Paso, Texas, where the Lord led us to preach, start preaching there 15 years ago. In those years, starting in 2008, the drug lords got out of hand, the drug cartel, and they started having wars between this gang and that gang and shooting one another. And they'd shoot into a crowd of people. Let's say here, there was one drug lord there that did them wrong, and they'd shoot him, and the people, they'd shoot everybody to be sure they get him, because they'd send a young kid that they pay $20 to $100 to go kill, a sicario, to go kill this person that's part of the gang, or the drug lords, or the cartel. And so, as I said, and I, the first year and a half, we would walk across the border. We'd leave our car because it was yellow. I said, this is a moving target. little 2000 Ford Focus. And I'd walk across, for a year and a half, we walked across with a suitcase with rice, with beans, with food, with Bibles, and give it to the people in the poor, on the streets, and make burritos and stuff and give it to them, and then we'd preach them the Word of God. And we did that 2007, 8, 19, 11, all the while they were cutting off preachers' tongues, hanging them upside down from bridges, cutting their parts and mailing them out, and doing the same to other drug lords and other people involved in drugs, killing people. We'd see mutilated bodies everywhere. They put them in trash bags and the arm here and the head there and put them in different, and they end up going to different dumpsters. You would say, Brother Tony and Sister Lisette, weren't you afraid to be walking the streets after we go in a bus to the house of the people? And then as evening got by, as we went from one house to another preaching, it'd get so late that the bus route would end at 8 o'clock. And then we'd have to walk. We'd be walking 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning for the shooting and killing. At that time, 2008, from 2008 to 2011, Ciudad Juarez became the most dangerous city in the whole world. And where God moved us, at 809 Montero Road, became the most safest city in the whole world. God moved us to the most safest city, kept us in his pouch, but sent us to preach in the most dangerous city in the whole world. You can look it up, you can Google it. 2009 to 2011. I'm so thankful to be in God's pouch. Amen. I'm so thankful to be in his pocket, being held close to his heart. Where are you today? You know, sometimes the baby kangaroo will fall out accidentally, and he'll have to choose to get back into the pouch. Have you fallen out of God's pouch? If you don't get back in, there's no more sincere milk of God's word for you, and you'll get weaker and weaker. And there's wolves, and there's lions, and there's tigers that are going to get you. Spiritually speaking, oh, let's get back in the pocket. Let's get back into that pouch. May the Lord help us by his grace. In Acts 18, verses 8 and 9, says that God spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." You know, from those words, from being contracted into God's pouch more firmer, saying, "I'm assuring you, I'm with you, Paul," you just keep on preaching the word of God. Don't let them, those snarls and those looks, "I don't like what you said about that worldly thing. You're just too dogmatic." Don't let that bother you, Brother Paul. You just keep on preaching the word of God. Amen. And so he was held on in there tighter. God said, "Don't worry, don't be afraid. I am with you." Paul was carried in God's pouch to the very end. Thank the Lord. Even in his beheading, God was with him and gave him the grace to go through it all. Thank the Lord. I love what it says in Psalm 104, verse 28. "That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good." And I hope that you are, and if you aren't, we need to put all of our plans, all our future plans, who we're going to marry, not marry, where we're going to work, not work, where we're going to live, not live, who we're going to associate, not associate. We need to put all that into God's hands. Amen. There was once a story that I heard, and I love it so much. There was a little boy that went with his dad to visit some friends, and the man opened a big bag of candies and offered them to the little boy, and the little boy wouldn't get them. And the dad said, "Get them." He said like that. So the dad reached down his hand and got the candies. And later on, the dad said, "I know you like candies. Why didn't you want to get them?" He says, "Dad, because your hand is bigger. And I know you could get more if you got it for me." And you know, if we let God choose for us, he's going to choose better and the best. If we choose for ourselves, we're going to choose the worst. It's going to leave us disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointing in the choice of my wife, because my choice of my wife was God's choice of my wife. He chose her for me, and then I had to choose his choice for me or say, no, she's not the one. I prayed about it. God said, she's the one. He gave me the signs, and I said, okay, I choose what you choose. Amen? The jobs, the works I've had all my life, I said, Lord, I don't want to work Sunday. I don't want to work Wednesday night, which were our services in the church that we left. And God always gave me work where I could be off and yet be in the services. Amen? When we let God choose for us, he's going to choose more for us. He opens his hand, and we're filled with good. Are you putting all your plans, all your purposes, all your desires, or are you just getting up like Brother Aaron said, are you just getting up and trying to fix the vehicle and not including God in it? Oh, let's include God in it. Let him choose for you, and you will be greatly blessed. Amen? Amen. It'll be exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Ask me. I could keep you hours. I purposely don't get up in the meeting here and testify because I could go on and on and on of what God is doing in Sierra Juarez, Mexico. I said, I'll just send the missionary letter out because I don't want to bore these people with all this. If you're getting the missionary letter, read it and see what God is doing for those that have gotten into his pouch. Amen? In the Gospel of John 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. There came a time when God put all things into Jesus' hand as he reached the end, the whole plan of salvation, and Jesus carried it out. What was the plan of salvation? That he would go to the cross, be nailed, shed his blood, bear the iniquities of us all. He was our sin bearer. He is our Savior. Through faith in his blood are we saved. By grace, through faith are we saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He put it all in Jesus' hand, and Jesus orchestrated it through the Holy Spirit and through God the Father so beautifully that when we hear it sung about Jesus dying on the cross or anything to do, I cry. I'm touched. I'm still touched. It was such a beautiful, it's more beautiful than the most beautiful Beethoven composure or beautiful artwork or whatever it is. It's more beautiful to hear about my Savior dying on the cross for me. It's beautiful. All this was put in Jesus' hand, and he orchestrated it, and like a rose blooming and opening up, it was so beautiful when he was done, and it's still beautiful to us today. God put everything in Jesus' hands. Are you putting everything in Jesus? Are you putting in your future in his hands? May we do so. He wants to carry your plans, your future, your purposes. In Revelation 1:16, it says, and he, Jesus, and he had in his right hand seven stars. We as the Church of God know what those seven stars were. It even tells us they were the seven churches of Asia. In what position were the seven churches of Asia? We heard about that today also, or yesterday. They were lukewarm, naked, blind. Some had left their first love. Some had a lot of false prophetess. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the Nicolaitans, can't remember how to pronounce it, have to look at it. They were not doing well, but who was carrying them? It says that Jesus was carrying seven stars in his hand. They were being carried by Jesus. And you know, sometimes I wonder about people that are becoming lukewarm, getting cold, that once had a true profession and were saved, and I wonder, are they already out of God's hands? And if this gives me hope, this should give you hope. Are you wavering? Are you weak? Are you stumbling? Have you failed? Are you lukewarm? Are you putting other things before God? Be assured, he's still holding you in his hand. He still has you in his pouch. He still has you right here in his pocket. He's waiting for you to change. That won't last forever. It says that if you don't repent, what would he do? Spew them out of his mouth. But there's still a point here where God is dealing with you and he's saying, let me hold you closer to my heart. Draw near to me. That's so encouraging to me. God is holding the churches of God all over the United States, Africa, Pakistan, the Philippines, wherever it might be, Austria, Germany. And maybe they're not all that they should be. It says that he was holding these failing churches in his hand, waiting that they repent and that they come back to their first love. May you do that, Lord. May you do that, saints. Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." He carried God's government upon his shoulder, and I want him to carry the government of my life upon his shoulder. Have you laid it there? Are you letting him govern how you dress, how you speak, where you go, where you don't go, your attitude towards your enemies? Again, I'm not trying to exalt Brother Aaron here, but he brought that out. Only God's true people can turn the other cheek. Yes. Only God's true people can keep quiet when they could very easily act, pull hairs out. God will have less hairs to number after you act in carnality and pull those hairs out of the person that's speaking evil of you. Amen? But no, God's people, we really don't have it in us. I'm so thankful for that. I want to let him carry the government of my life. I want him to tell me, I don't want you listening to that. I don't want you going there. I don't want to go, hey, I know what I'm doing. I can go there. It's not going to bother me. If the Holy Spirit is impeding you from going there, imposing you from going there, and others have told you, well, then let us yield and say, okay, I don't understand, but I'm going to stop going there. I'm going to stop looking at that. I'm going to stop listening to that. Amen? Lay the government of your shoulder upon Jesus, and you'll be blessed. Amen? I've done it, and by the grace of God, I want to keep on doing it till I die. May the Lord help me. Pray for me. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He's carrying our sorrows. How many of us in our workplace or in our marriage or with our unbelieving relatives or as missionaries face many sorrows? Have you turned over your sorrow to him? It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus said, take my yoke, for it is light and easy. Amen? Oh, I want to know how to take my sorrows, not allow them to destroy me, not allow them to bring me down, and I want to leave him in his hands. I want to leave him in his hands. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Speaking of Jesus, of course, we're in Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." He was beaten in our place. He took our punishment. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He carried it for us. Amen? Amen? For those of us that repented and put our faith in Christ, we don't have to worry. When I die, I'm not worried that God's going to punish me for what I did in the past. He's carried it away. Amen? Praise the Lord. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I've told this story here. I'll repeat it again. There was once some kids playing tag. In Spanish, it's called la roña, or the filth. It's tag. And so the kids got together, and they touched a young child that was born. He had some issues with his legs and couldn't run very fast. And they tagged him. And he was trying to touch someone, and he couldn't run fast enough to get untagged. And he was starting to cry because he couldn't get untagged. He couldn't get the filth off of him. And another young child that was playing tag was so touched, and he said, "Here, you can give me the tag. I'll take it for you." And so the handicapped boy touched him, and he ran away happy. And the boy that could run fast got the tag, got the filth. In Spanish, it's called la roña, or the filth. I'm so thankful. You know, we could not get the filth off of us on our own. We were born in a crippled state called carnality. We were born with a sinful nature, a nature that was leaning towards sin. We never will have the ability to take the filth away, but I'm so thankful that Jesus said, You can touch me. I'll take it for you. I'll bear it for you. I'll carry it for you. I'll carry away your sin like that scapegoat. Amen. In Isaiah 63, verse 9, and in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. You know, sometimes strange it will happen. Recently, a hen hatched some eggs. They're in Silhuarez, Mexico. There were about 8, and she rejected them. Sometimes cats will reject their kittens. Maybe too much human touching. Too much, it rubs off the odor of the mother, and she doesn't recognize the baby, and she rejects them. If we rub too much with the world, too much against the world, we won't have the odor of a safe person anymore, and God will reject us. But we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on the part that we're in his pouch and he's burying us and he's going to carry us all the days of old. And I just love the story of Joseph. Joseph was carried to the day that he died in God's pouch, in God's pocket. When Joseph was sold into Egypt by his jealous brothers, he wasn't alone. Jealousy was against him. Carnality was against him. But he wasn't alone. I just love the fact that God was with him the whole time. Do you feel rejected? Do you feel that people are jealous of you and they hate you? But you are a child of God? Don't worry about it. God is going to be with you. Don't pay attention to that attitude. Maybe some might be jealous of you because of the gifts that you have or the way God is using you. What God has revealed to you. You know, they were jealous of Joseph because of he was loved by his father and because of the dreams that he'd had. They were going to come and bow before him, and they didn't like that. And they did come and bow before him. When Joseph was cast into prison due to lies about his holy character in Genesis 29:30, we know the story of Potiphar's wife, and she had wrong desires towards Joseph, and he rejected it and ran out. Even when they lied about his holy character, it wasn't true. And Potiphar believed it and put him in prison. Even in the prison, God was with Joseph. God was still carrying him in his pouch, holding him near to his heart. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. I love that, gave him favor. His brothers were against him and hated him. But you focus on God's favor upon you. You focus on that the Lord is showing you mercy and favoring you. Amen? Amen? Favor in the sight of the prisoners. That's Genesis 39:21. Then in Genesis 41:52, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. After Joseph's brothers came, they didn't recognize him. They made several trips, and he tested them with this and that, spoke harshly to them, but forgave them at the end, wept and kissed each one and hugged them and loaded them with gifts. And Joseph's father was brought into Egypt or into the land of Goshen. In all of his affliction, because he remained in God's pouch, he didn't fall for Potiphar's wife. He didn't take things into his own hands. He remained in God's pocket, near to God. God blessed him greatly, greatly, greatly. He was second in command over Egypt. That is a pretty great blessing. Whatever his hand touched, you could say it turned to gold because God was with him. That's the way God's children are. You are an asset to the place that you work. You are an asset because God is with you, and God is literally going to bless that business where you work for your benefit. He did it with Joseph. He'll do it with us. He'll carry us in his pocket. One time I was working at a furniture store, I don't mean to boast, and I got up to second and third in sales, and pretty soon I decided that wasn't where God wanted me. 3 years later, I left, and shortly after that business went out of, the furniture store went out of business. Call it a coincidence. While I was there, I was scaling up in sales. When I left, it went belly up. God's favor left. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 29 through 32. Deuteronomy 1, verses 29 through 32. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. Amen. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, we're in Deuteronomy 1, 31. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, I will carry you. As a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Oh, I don't want to be a bratty, ungrateful child and be in God's lap and then, I don't want you to help me anymore. I want to do my own thing. You know, when we're in God's arms, we feel safe and secure. Just look at children. They feel safe and secure. I want to remain in God's arms. I want him to carry me. He shall fight for you. He'll bear us all the way. And he's been bearing me, and I'm so thankful for that. Is he bearing you? If he is, you're snuggled up and happy and content, aren't you? Amen. In Matthew 15:22, we read of the woman of Canaan. She cried out and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And Jesus said to her, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't cast the children's bread to dogs. And she said, wonderful what she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs, this is in Matthew 15, 27. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And later on, Jesus said, O woman, great is the faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. That day, that woman was, she wasn't brought low. She was already humble. You know, sometimes they say, well, he insulted me. Or she. I said, no. If you're already way down, down low, humble, like, nobody can insult you. Nobody can bring you down a notch because you're already down humble. That's what I tell them in Mexico. Well, he said, I said, no. You humble yourselves, take up your cross, deny yourself. And they could tell you bald, crooked tooth or whatever. And is it going to bother you if you're already humble? But you have to humble yourself under the Almighty. If you're, I'm educated. Who do you think you are? Then it's going to hurt you. Amen? This woman was already humble. She wasn't brought down an arch or two by Jesus. She already came with a humble attitude that she was like a dog. Jesus only carries his babies in his pocket. She wasn't his baby. She was from Canaan. She wasn't an Israelite. She didn't deserve it. But because she came like that little joy kangaroo that crawls from the canal, birth canal to the pocket, she started crawling to that canal. Excuse me, to the pouch, Jesus's pouch, and she got in. And she brought in her daughter's request and threw it in there. And he said, wait a minute. Everybody stop, he says, Jesus, stop. Woman, great is your faith. Yes, amen. Do you have enough faith to crawl into Jesus' pouch today? Crawl into his pocket, let him carry you? I hope so. I want to learn how to daily remain in that pouch. Amen. Luke 17, 12 through 19. There were the 10 lepers. Jesus healed 10 and they walked away. And then one turned back. And it says that with a loud voice, he glorified God, kneeled down before Jesus. And Jesus said, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Amen. Only one returned to give thanks. It says that he fell at his feet, fell on his face, at his feet, giving thanks. And what did Jesus say to him? Something that he didn't say to the other 9. He says, thy faith has made thee whole. Amen? Thy faith has made thee whole. That day that leper crawled into Jesus' pouch and was made whole, latched on to that milk of God's word, and went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10 through 11. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10 through 11 through 12. He found him in a desert land, in a waste and howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. We read about that in prayer today, Sister Connie. Verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth about her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them. And there was no strange God with them, with him. I've actually seen this. Other birds and the baby being pushed out of the nest or falling out, and the mother will flutter around and fly underneath it and catch it and go up, and then I've not seen what else they do with it. I don't know if they carry it somewhere or the baby flies off from there again after it gets strength. I don't know what he does, but the mother's there to help, to carry them. You know, I'm so thankful that when I started out with the Lord that he carried me through many difficult situations. I had a mother that didn't believe. There were Catholics, Roman Catholics, a dad that was a drug narc, part of the mafia. Very difficult situations, and the Lord caught me many times and carried me on his wings. Oh, the Lord wants to carry you today. Do you have a difficult situation at home? Trust him. He will carry you. Thank the Lord. I've seen kids driving their little bikes and they have training wheels. And as it leans to one side, the training wheel catches on this side and the training wheel catches on the other side. They're being carried by the training wheels. The mother, our Jesus, is there to train us, to carry us. Recently, we were in a mall. We didn't plan it, but there was a live skating rink with real ice. There in Juarez, Mexico, we took the Saints to buy groceries, and then we walked through a mall, and there it was. And I'd never seen what they were doing. There were some that could skate easily, and then there were some that would fall. And they actually had like a walker. It's a metal thing, and at the bottom square. And they would have it in front, and they'd be skating, and this walker thing would keep them from falling. They're being trained. It was carrying them. Now, I'm so thankful that the Lord provides what we need. That saint that we can call, that special place of prayer, whatever it might be, he gives us the training wheels, that walker on the ice, that mother eagle that bears us up on her wings. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. Just go through verse 14 first. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It first says that God gave prophets, apostles, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that we might come into the perfect man, that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And I'm often concerned with the young people. Are y'all studying the doctrine? Do you understand the teaching of the Church of God? So thankful when we first met the saints, Brother Tavis's Brown, Brother Aaron Brown's parents here were the first saints that we met. We met another couple at a restaurant. They were the Alcantaras, and they were about to meet for the first time in a house with Brother Aaron Brown's family. That was in 2003, I believe. And after we visited with them a while, I met with them, they ordered books from the Faith Publishing for Brother Willie back there, and then from his brother later on. And the books were sent to us, and I had questions about the second work of grace, about the no thousand-year reign, about Satan not being in heaven, about not sinning as Christians, and one doctrine after the other that I didn't understand. Not going to doctors and not using medicine, I didn't understand all that. And I could have been tossed to and fro and carried about. I'm so thankful that God said, Brother Sister Karen Dixon and Brother Stanley Dixon, when this family from the Vichy campground came in 2003 to preach in our home, they came to the last meeting, and I asked Brother Stanley for his address. Long story short, we quit meeting with Brother Tavis' family for a while because of not being able to see eye to eye. I didn't agree with the doctrine. But I already had the revelation explained in my bathroom. I kept it there 7 months, kept Brother Stanley Dixon's phone number there. One day I pulled it out because we'd gone and searched more churches. We were beginning to be, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about. And I knew that they were not right. Those other churches were not right. They were so worldly, so carnal. Their preachers are paid. They go to seminary like we heard this morning. They really don't live. I believe there's people saved there, for sure, in many of those churches. But even the saved people have been tainted. Even they have compromised some. Because they're there, they have to compromise to fit in. But I'm so thankful that I pulled out that Revelation explained and opened, and it fell open on a thousand-year reign. And it was talking about the souls underneath the altar and crying out. And he said, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, of them that were, I forget what the words it says in there, but for the testimony of Christ and for Jesus Christ. I was taught that these souls that were reigning with Christ were bodies that would be reigning with Christ. And it said, I saw the souls of them. And so I'm so thankful that clarified to me that the churches today teach that it's the bodies that will be reigning here 1,000 years. But the ones that were reigning with Christ in heaven, it was their souls that are reigning with Christ, amen, not human bodies. And that helped clarify to me that maybe there was something to this doctrine, amen? And I'm so thankful for the day that I crawled even more closely in Christ's pouch. And we came in 2004 maybe, no, 2007 here. And through a long mixture of events that God orchestrated, we believe that this was God's true church, and we continue to come in since 2007. The Lord revealed it to us through his doctrine, amen. And I'm no longer carried back and forth with doctrines. I've got it settled there was no thousand-year reign. I got it settled we don't sin. I got it settled Jesus was never in heaven. I got it settled I'm not going to doctors. I'm not going to use medicine. Although that's not a firm doctrine amongst us, but we believe in teaching of trusting in the Lord, amen? And we have mercy on those that don't have the faith, of course, amen? Psalms. So we don't want to be carried to and fro. If we're in Jesus' pouch, we're not going to be carried to and fro. Amen. We're going to go, not leave the church of God and go to another, something that's less or something that's not of God. Amen. In Psalm 91, verse 10, Psalm 91:10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thee, nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And this is what Satan quoted to Jesus, right? Wanted him to do. He was using the scripture to make Jesus fall. But Jesus was God Almighty, and he rejected it. He resisted him. But this applies to us too. I'm so thankful. Sometimes we get so fearful. What if I have cancer? What if I'm going to crash? What if I... Leave it in God's hands. Amen. Leave it in God's hands and just trust in him. Just trust him. We don't need to know what we have. We don't need to go get it examined. I haven't. He's bearing me up. If he wants to bear me up and take me to heaven, woo! Praise the Lord. I'm not afraid to go to heaven. Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to die because you're not ready? Crawl into Jesus' pouch. And you'll say, woo! If I go through cancer, Lord, just give me the grace and the help. Please take away the pain. Be merciful. But if you don't take away the pain, Paul cried out 3 times, remove this thorn, but God said, my grace, my weakness is made perfect. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Amen. So you know what? He's going to bear us up. Yes. Amen. What about the economy? What if all the banks crash and the money turns to zero? What about the prophet that was fed by the ravens day and night and sent the widow to provide for him? He bore up that prophet. He didn't. When the stream dried up, the ravens stopped bringing them meat and bread in the morning and the evening. God provided a widow that had nothing. Sometimes the widows are the ones that support the work in Juarez, Mexico. They have very little, but they support it. Yes. Great is going to be their reward. Amen. In Isaiah 43:2, When thou passest through the waters, this is, Brother Aaron mentioned this again. I go, wow, two scriptures from the same minister that God gave me, confirming that God wants to comfort his people. His idea was God will care for us. Don't worry. If you remain in his pouch, God will care for you. Don't worry. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, let's have that faith. He's going to carry us through the fire. He's going to carry us through the floods. We don't need to fear. He's not going to let go. Thank the Lord. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees said in Moses, this was the false religion of that day. All therefore whatsoever they bid you, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. We're talking about carrying here. Grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. If you go to our missionary work, I'm the cook. I wait the tables. I'm the chauffeur, among many other things. Am I boasting? No, I'm just letting you know. We're not laying any heavy burden on anybody. And there are many people that help us. But right here, these ministers were adding to the law that you had to do this and do that in order to keep the law. And churches that today do that too. They add and they take away. They drag people back into the Old Testament and make them keep the tithing. And the tithing was only for who? The Levitical priesthood. And when the New Testament, Jesus did away with those ordinances and laws, nailed them to the cross, but they dragged those people kicking and screaming to the Old Testament, especially if you make billions of dollars a year. Ooh, child, give me 10% of that. Amen? But Jesus said that the hireling fleeth, and he carrieth not for the sheep, in John 10. They make them keep the Sabbath. We're no longer to the Sabbath. They drag him back into the Old Testament. You've got Seventh-day Adventists. They drag him into the Sabbath. I feel so sorry for these women that have to cook Friday night, Saturday, and then on Sunday do all that they do. They can't enjoy life like we do on Sunday because they're keeping, on Saturday because they're on Friday and they have to keep Saturday. Amen? You can't do anything on Saturday. In the church that we were in, much like the Catholics, that don't marry, and like the nuns that don't marry, we were taught that we would not, the ministers would not get married. They go by what it says in Acts that Paul said, I would that you be as I am, that the one that is not married has more time for fasting and prayer, and the one that's married cares for the things of life and her husband. And we were taught that our ministers are not married. So when I offered for the ministry at age 19, started at age 20, God called me to preach at age 11, I was not going to get married. That was a heavy burden to bear, but I was willing to do it. For 9 years, I was in the ministry, knowing that I would never get married, never have a house, never have my own car, left everything, sold it all, and I bore that. But when God started revealing to me that Peter, who we taught, left his wife, because you don't hear her of her going, in the book of Acts, it doesn't say that Peter was dragging around his wife, but he was married, remember? Jesus healed her? But we taught that he left her, not in a bad way. He left her behind because Jesus said, whosoever had left father, lands, mother, yea, wife, children, for my sake, in the future shall have everlasting life and in this world a hundredfold. So I did that. And you know, may the Lord help us to pray for that ministry. There's some over 2,000 men and women that are not getting married. Some are. Some God will teach some of us to remain unmarried. And he'll give us the gift to do it, but I didn't have that gift. Thank the Lord I did remain the way I should. I left that ministry at age 28 and married at age 32. After praying to God for 3.5 years, he sent me the wife in that church. If you were not in the ministry, you could get married. So I left the ministry, realizing that it was wrong. The Lord provided a wife. But these are heavy burdens that the religious of the world today lay on people, and the people ignorantly believe it. And there are many other heavy doctrines that the world lays. But you know what? We're in the church of God. We don't have any heavy burdens laid on us. If you feel it's a heavy burden, pray about it and say, Lord, give me a love for this doctrine. Give me a love for this teaching. And if it's the Word of God, Jesus said, the Word of God doesn't say that His commandments are grievous. It says, and His commandments are not grievous. Amen. I love doing the commandments of God because He gives the grace and the strength. He doesn't expect us to do it in our own self or in our own understanding. He gives the grace and the strength. Thank the Lord. Amen. Notice some of you all are yawning already. Hope this hasn't been too boring. We're almost there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. And you know, in the church that we left, we bore one of those burdens. But you know, I've never seen a church like this that jumps on it and bears one of those burdens so fast. I'm always amazed, and I find out about it later on. So-and-so did this, and they did this for me. I'm going, wow, they didn't say anything about it, and they did all that? How did they do it? I say, wow. Recently, we've heard about Brother Dan and Sister Angela and how the saints swooped in there, cooked for them. I don't know if they cleaned for them. They took over and helped them. They went there and helped bear Sister Angela, Brother Dan's burdens. Maybe some are still doing it, thank the Lord. Nobody paid them to do it. Nobody told them to do it. We had that heart to want to bear, to carry one another's burdens. Sister Maxine Busby, go visit her and you'll find several caregivers there taking care of her, stooping over her, bearing her burdens. Oh, we have a beautiful family, the Church of God, moved by love. Brother Earl Benson, I know a certain minister sitting in this service that went and sat in the hospital with him, encouraged him, lifted him up, prayed for him. And I know many of you have done many things for them, I'm sure, and been bearing their burdens in this very, very difficult time for Sister Marie, for Sister Julie and her brother and sister. Brother Robin and Sister Rosa Wright, they sent me a picture once and they said, you see this ramp going into my door? I said, yeah. Says the saints got together and they went and built this ramp so I could go into my home in my wheelchair. I go, wow, it looks so beautiful. I say, oh, they're bearing one another's burdens. Amen? Sister Georgette mentioned to me one time that, I don't know what happened to her roof, but saints flew over there, not from Florida, and they went and redid her roof. Bearing one another's burdens. Amen? And I'm so thankful that I've experienced this of being born by the care and the love of my brothers and sisters. Not just born in Jesus' pocket, but isn't He not the head and are we not the body? Yes. If we're being born by Jesus, we will also be born by one another. In fact, isn't that what they did for Paul? They let him down out the window to the basket. The saints were holding the weight, get him free so they wouldn't kill him. They were literally carrying Paul the apostle in a basket. You know what? I'm so thankful to be in Jesus' pocket. I want to be a thankful one. I want to be like that stone. See, He doesn't have to spew me out. I want to be a thankful one. I want to remain in His pocket, knowing that He cares for me. Thank the Lord.